Mr. Warren. Brethren, I don't know if we've noticed, but our government seems like it's falling apart. You probably have. The elections are coming up, and government's just kind of going its own way. We do have the reassurance, though, brethren, that God's government is coming to the earth, and it's coming soon. So what will it be like? What will God's government be like on earth? What is the real future for which we're preparing right now? Something is drastically wrong with the world today. Our entire society is dissatisfied. It's unhappy, discouraged. You know, for many, life no longer seems bearable. So as a result, there's been a dramatic increase in suicides and suicide attempts, especially among the young. These in their teens and early 20s. So what's wrong? What is so wrong? Is there really no hope? Is there nothing to live for? Is life so full of despair that suicide seems like the only intelligent alternative? Well, brethren, there is hope. There is hope. Our human government has failed us. That is basically the heart of the trouble. But the Bible speaks of another world, a soon coming world, with a different form of world government, which will set right the sickness of today. It'll provide the real solution to the present large and growing problems of torment, fear, and self-annihilation, and will show the true way of peace and happiness and joy. The Bible also tells us of our place in that world. You know, Jesus proclaimed the soon coming kingdom of God, the rule of God, and showed how we must prepare for it. He revealed that it is to be a world ruling government set up on earth, and that we must overcome and learn to obey God now if we're to be a part of it. This most tremendous future event in Earth's history was pre-recorded in Revelation 11:15. Mr. Warren touched on this also earlier. In Revelation 11:15, here the last of the seven trumpets of Revelation is sounded. And voices in heaven are saying in Revelation 11:15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The living Christ, brethren, is soon coming to take over the governments of this devastated world. The nations of this earth may initially resist his perfect government, but he is coming this second time in all the power of God to enforce peace on the earth. Also mentioned in Revelation 19:15 says, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. He is coming as supreme ruler over all governors and kings of this earth. And then skipping on down to verse 16, it says, and he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Brethren, in a prophecy about Christ written hundreds of years before his human birth, God foretold what his job would eventually be. Let's go ahead and turn to Isaiah 9. Isaiah 9, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. Notice that here Christ is called the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. That's because he alone has the power to bring peace. God always says of the increase, or he also says, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So under Christ as world ruler, after the terrible destruction which precedes his second coming, people will again multiply and replenish the earth. And the laws and ways of his government will spread throughout the world. Then, brethren, as the people gradually learn to obey the Ten Commandments and all his laws, all the laws of God, there will also be an actual increase in peace. Not only peace, but happiness and joy on this earth. All of which will continue to grow among nations and individuals as they learn more and more to obey God's way of life and perfect laws, which are the only way to peace. So let's talk about the organization of God's kingdom. The form and organization of God's government on this earth is already prophesied in the Bible. Christ, of course, will be king over all. He'll occupy a definite throne upon this earth when he returns. For before his human birth, an angel prophesied in Luke 1, verse 32 and verse 33. Luke 1, verse 32 and verse 33. An angel prophesied and said, "He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." Christ will rule more directly over the people of Israel because his headquarters will be in Jerusalem. But notice that the scripture says specifically that he will rule over the house of Jacob. He'll rule over the house of Jacob. The house of Israel or Jacob was called as God's chosen people to be a light to the rest of the world. They were chosen not as favorites, but with a job to perform, which they have really failed to accomplish at this point. During the coming thousand-year reign of Christ, however, all of Israel will be reunited with the house of Judah, and together they will be the chief nations of the earth under Christ to help set the example and carry his government to the earth. You know, we see in Ezekiel 37, verses 15 through 28, we won't take the time to read all these, but in Ezekiel 37, verses 15 through 38, God shows his purpose. God shows his purpose is to reunite Israel and Judah. Speaking of these two separate nations who separated nearly 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, he says in Ezekiel 37, verse 22, he says, "And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations. Neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all." Now, under Christ as King of Kings, the resurrected David will again be the direct king over the reunited house of Israel. Skipping on down to verse 24 of Ezekiel 37, it says, "And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them." Brethren, under David, each of the 12 tribes of Israel will have its own individual governor, one of the 12 apostles. Jesus himself designated them for this office before he died. In Luke 22 and verse 28, it says, "You are they which have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The Apostle John predicted this in vision and recorded it in Revelation 20 and verse 3 and 4. Revelation 20 verse 3 and 4 in a prophecy of Christ's coming thousand-year reign, the millennium. It says, "I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them." Brother, perhaps Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, will be given a position of rule over the Gentile nations in this millennial kingdom. In fact, he may be given a very high position, since compared to the other apostles listed in 1 Corinthians 15:10, it says that he labored more abundantly than they all. Those Christians who grow in grace and knowledge now in this life will also be given position, will be given positions of rule under Christ during the millennium. And it also states in Revelation 2, verse 26 and 27, it said that, "And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron." And then again, I know these scriptures are going kind of fast, but again in Revelation 5:10, we find that Christ has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Jesus gave the parable of the pounds to show Christians that in this life we must overcome our human nature. We must overcome our human nature and make good use of our time and our talents according to God's laws, and prepare for a position of rule and responsibility in the soon coming government of God on this earth. Notice Jesus' statement to the man who overcame most and gained the 10 pounds. In Luke 19:17, we know the story. Luke 19:17, it says, "Well, you good servant, because you have been faithful in very little, you have authority over 10 cities. And then notice to the man who was zealous enough to gain 5 pounds, Jesus said in verse 19 that you are also over five cities. True Christians are called to serve. True Christians are called to serve under Christ in ruling that new world. And we are a part of that. So why isn't that message being preached in all the churches today? Well, as the well-known secular historian Edward Gibbon stated in the 15th chapter of his famous book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, quote, "The ancient and popular doctrine of the millennium was intimately connected with the second coming of Christ. As the works of the creation had been finished in 6 days, their duration in their present state, according to a tradition attributed to the prophet Elijah, was fixed as a 6,000 years. By the same analogy, it was inferred that this long period of labor and contention, which was also almost elapsed, would be succeeded by a joyful Sabbath of 1,000 years, and that Christ, with a triumphant band of the saints and the elected that escaped death or who had been miraculously revived, would reign upon the earth until the end time appointed for the last and general resurrection," unquote. So yes, the early resurrection, or the early Christians, understood the purpose of God and the reason that He calls some of us out of the age at this time into His church to prepare for the world tomorrow. True Christians should learn to obey and live by God's laws and ways now so that they will be able to teach and to train others to live the way of peace during the soon coming millennium when the government of God will hold sway over this earth. The saints will serve under the apostles, prophets, and kings, such as David, for example, in each tribe. Headed by one of the apostles will be some of the saints who have overcome and learned to submit to God's government here and now. As the parable of the pounds illustrates, some will be governors over territories, including several cities. Some may occupy an office similar to that of a mayor under these governments and governors. Other spirit-born saints will have other jobs to do, no matter what the particular office to be inherited. The attitude of the begotten children of God should be that of David. Psalms 84 and verse 10 states, that I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. In the kingdom of God, under Christ and the Spirit-born saints, brethren, we will be those human leaders who will help guide the physical people. They shall be taught and instructed in God's laws, which alone bring peace. Isaiah 2 and verse 3. And many people shall go and say, "Come you, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Brethren, even though they are taught God's laws, many people will first have to be forced to obey them. Skipping down to verse 4 of Isaiah 2. Verse 4 says, "And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." God's dealing with Israel, so often used as a type of the way he will deal with all nations. Many of the Old Testament prophecies concerning the millennium have particular reference to Israel. Yet, since God is no respecter of persons, this may be viewed as a type of what God will do in principle for the nations as they serve and obey Christ. In Amos 9, verses 4, 14 and 15, speaking of the final regathering of Israel, God says in Amos 9, verses 14 and 15, "And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. They shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon the land, their land, and they shall have no more, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land which I give them, saith the Lord thy God." The fulfillment of this prophecy is yet in the future. God says to Israel, no more. No more be pulled out of their land at that time. This is speaking of great physical blessings God is going to shower upon his people of Israel, when he brings them back from captivity after Christ's return. In a prophecy written over 100 years after the first and only captivity of non-Jewish Israel so far, God prophesied through Jeremiah of a future captivity of Israel, our people, and their restoration back to Palestine after Christ's return. Jeremiah 30, verses 1 through 11, the time of our national captivity is called the time of Jacob's trouble, listed in verse 7. But we will be rescued. We'll be rescued out of this national punishment and captivity at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And then in verse 8 and 9 of Jeremiah 30, "For it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off their neck, and will burst their bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him, but they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I raise up upon them." So at Christ's coming, Israel will be delivered from their captivity, and David and the saints will be resurrected from the dead to take their places as kings and priests in God's government upon the earth under Christ. And skipping down to verse 10, it says, "So do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant. Do not be dismayed, Israel, declares the Lord. I will surely save you out of a distant place, your descendants from the land of their exile. Jacob will again have peace and security, and no one will make him afraid." At last, brethren, peace shall come to this war-torn world and Israel shall no more be made afraid of any nation. Referring to the entire prophecy, God says in verse 24 of the same chapter, "In the latter days you shall consider it." And continues with the same prophecy. And God tells of his blessings to Israel at that time. And then continuing on in Jeremiah 31 verses 4 and 5. Jeremiah 31 verses 4 and 5. "I will build you up again, and you, virgin Israel, will be rebuilt. Again, you will take your timbrels and go out to dance with the joyful. Again, you will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria. The farmers will plant them and enjoy their fruit." Dancing, singing, happiness and joy will overflow in abundance as Israel is blessed by God after Christ brings them back to Palestine to be the chief nation of the world and to set the pattern to the nations of his government. After their national punishment and captivity, they will go back repentant and contrite. And in verse 9 of Jeremiah 31, it states, "They shall come with weeping, and with supplication will I lead them." Brethren, as they return, God will begin to bless them in every way possible, both spiritually and physically. And then we see in verses 12 and 13, states that, "Therefore they shall come and sing in the height of Zion and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord for wheat and for wine and for oil and for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their soul shall be a watered garden, and they shall not sow any more at all, sorrow any more at all. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow." Through obedience to God's ways, there will be an abundance of good things to eat and to drink, and there will be an overflowing of happiness in the human heart at last. The entire 11th chapter of Isaiah is a description of the coming 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. Here, Christ is described as the branch or offspring of Jesse, and he will be totally motivated by God's Spirit to become the perfect world ruler. As a divine being, he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, but will be able to read the thoughts and hearts of men everywhere. He will judge the poor and downtrodden with righteousness, and will punish the wicked with the death penalty, which will put fear into the hearts of the evildoers. After Christ's return, the wild and vicious nature shall be removed even from the wild animals, such as the wolf, the lion, and the poisonous snakes. And we read in verse 6 that the wolf also shall dwell with the lion, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Most important of all, brethren, human beings everywhere will at last learn God's way, which alone will bring peace. And skipping down to verse 9, it says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This, brethren, is a wonderful time spoken of by the Apostle Peter as the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Indeed, God has described this blessed reign of Jesus Christ on earth in literally scores of prophecies throughout the Bible. This was the message of Jesus Christ. This was the only real way to find true utopia. In order to humble them and teach them God's way more fully, Christ will force some of the peoples who have helped spoil His people, Israel, to become their servants in the land of Palestine during the early years of the millennium. And then in Isaiah 14, verses 1 and 2, it says that, "For the Lord will have mercy on Jacob and will yet choose Israel and set them in their own land," which is Palestine. "And the strangers shall be joined with them, and they shall cleave to the house of Jacob. And the people shall take them and bring them to their place. And the house of Israel shall possess them in the land of the Lord for servants and maidservants. And they shall take them captives, whose captives they were, and they shall rule over their oppressors." As the Lord of Lords, Christ, who began to convert and save the entire world during this reign, to do this, he will have to heal the spiritual blindness that has come on all people of the earth as a result of Satan's deceptions. Isaiah says, "And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over the nations, he shall swallow up in victory." All people will then come to know God. Their blindness and religious confusion will be removed, and they will finally be converted. The resurrected saints will teach the people God's ways, and they will be blessed by God as they obey. We see in Isaiah 30, verses 19 through 21. Isaiah 30, verses 19 through 21. Isaiah 30, verses 19 through 21. "People of Israel who live in Jerusalem, you will weep no more. How gracious He will be when you cry for help. As soon as He hears, He will answer you. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes, you will see them. Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk you in it.'" It'll be a startling experience, brethren, for some who have a voice behind them suddenly boom out and warn them not to break one of God's commandments. But the saints of God, now born of the Spirit, having become spirit at the resurrection, will be able to be invisible or visible at will. There will be no cheating on God's laws. Through the restoration of real contact with Almighty God, millions of deaf, dumb, blind, and crippled people all over the world will be supernaturally healed. And it says in Isaiah chapter 35, verses 5 and 6, I'll just go ahead and read it. Isaiah 35, verses 5 and 6. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and the streams in the desert. Notice that not only people, but the land shall be healed, and the earth shall receive proper rainfall again with God's blessing. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs forth water. Brethren, the world could have peace and happiness now, but it refuses to live God's way of life. Speaking of all humanity, Jews and Gentiles alike, the Apostle Paul was inspired to write that the destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known, at least at this point in time. The reason the world cannot have peace is because it refuses to obey the commandments of God as the way of life. And as we've seen, when Christ comes to set up his government, the law of God shall go forth from Zion, and the world and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Those who yield themselves most to obey God's commandments now will be best qualified to receive the highest positions in God's government during the coming millennial reign of Christ. You know, he said in Matthew 5 and verse 19, "Whoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least of in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." You know, this is because Christ is going to have peace in his kingdom. And so all lawbreakers are going to be kept outside. The same principle holds true in the New Jerusalem, the holy city which will come down out of heaven to this earth after the millennium. And it says in Revelation 22:14, that blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter through the gates into the city. We will have real utopia when we learn to obey God's commandments. Then the world will be blessed. It will be blessed with physical abundance. The sick, the crippled, they'll be healed. The spiritually blinded millions at that point will come to really know Christ and God the Father. The human beings on earth under God's government during Christ's millennial reign are pictured as learning to sing, dance, and shout for joy as the wonderful way of life they will experience under the perfect government of God. Brethren, under God's government and his perfect laws, people will learn that Jesus meant fully what he said. In John 10:10 is our last scripture. John 10:10. It states, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am come that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." Brethren, this is what happy, joyous, the world tomorrow will be like.